KDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Inauguration Day now 1 week away. President-elect Trump will be sworn into office for a second term. Homeland Security naming presidential inaugurations as a national special security event. Matt McCool, a special agent in charge for the Secret Service in D.C.
This designation allows the federal government, along with our state and local partners, to use all available resources to implement a comprehensive security plan.
Senate confirmation hearings, meantime, getting underway this week for more than a dozen of President-elect Trump's key cabinet nominees. In Southern California, fire crews and residents bracing for another round of gale and hurricane-force winds. Firefighters are racing to gain control over the Eaton and Palisades fires, blamed for at least two dozen deaths. Apple resisting demands for the company to end its diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, also known as DEI initiatives. And a tsunami warning has been lifted after an earthquake in southwestern Japan earlier. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Dane County Executive Melissa Agard has a challenger this spring. She just won the seat in November, but that was only to finish out Joe Parisi's term. Now, Stefan Ratzlaff has filed to run against her April 1st. Ratzlaff is a salesman at Steinhoffels. His campaign is based on lowering property taxes. He's previously run for state assembly twice, both times as an independent. Meanwhile, we now know Madison's District 18 will have a new alder. That's the area currently represented by Charles Miadze. He's currently facing a handful of charges, including strangulation and suffocation, substantial battery, and false imprisonment. Multiple women have accused him of harassment and abuse, and an independent investigation found them credible. Miadze has been censured by the Common Council and removed from his committees, but he had waffled on whether he'd run for re-election. We got our answer when he missed last week's filing deadline, so it was extended until Friday at 5 p.m. Three people are now vying for his seat: Carmela Glenn, Anthony McNally, and Kevin Monroe. And Congress passed an extension of the Farm Bill, a relief for many farmers, but that means they're working with benefits and prices that were negotiated 6 years ago. On top of that, President-elect Donald Trump has promised to cut government costs across the board. Add potential tariffs to the equation, and experts are worried about the agriculture industry. Paul Mitchell, ag and economics professor at UW-Madison.
So my real worry is that agriculture will be collateral damage for the new administration as they pursue other political priorities where, you know, agriculture is not their number one priority. And they will take the cost of agricultural hurt to address these issues they want to address that would partly help them get elected.
Old prices aren't the only problem with extending the Farm Bill. Mitchell says crop insurance and conservation programs are at risk, too. SNAP is also at risk, even though it's already offering benefits too low to help those who need them, according to the Urban Institute. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
The Packers season ends in Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers losing to the Eagles 22-10 in the first round of the playoffs. Several Packers players on offense had to leave the game with injuries. Left guard Elgton Jenkins' arm went numb with a stinger. Romeo Doubs with another concussion. Center Josh Myers with a possible fractured leg. And what happened to receiver Jaden Reed?
I dislocated my shoulder. So I tried to go back in, but after I realized I physically couldn't. The trainers did a great job of taking me to go get x-ray and everything.
So the Eagles advance, and they'll play the winner of tonight's game between the Vikings and the Rams. I spoke to Eagles running back Saquon Barkley.
That's football, man. They're a good team. Got credit to them. They did some good things. They're a well-coached team. Got a lot of great players. But at the end of the day, stats don't matter. Only stats that matter is that win column.
NBA, the Bucks' three-game winning streak snapped with a 140-106 loss to the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Sunny and cold today, with high temperatures tapping the mid-teens and winds blustery, whipping up to 30 miles per hour, creating frigid wind chills where we're really feeling sub-zero all day, and a chance of a few flurries flying around late. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 12 degrees.
I'm hungry. What's cooking?
Oh, no, not me. It's your turn.
Oh, we're back to taking turns?
Yes.
Well, how about Sugar River Pizza?
Oh, yeah, now they can cook.
I could really go for some of that 12-hour smoked pulled pork.
Ooh, and some pasta. Mm. Okay, now I'm hungry. Sugar River, here we come.
And they have that great kids menu, too.
We don't have any kids.
Right. That's beside the point. The point is, I'm hungry.
You're hungry. Let's go.
Yes. And we should talk about having some kids.
Get in the car, Bob. Sugar River, Sun Prairie, Verona, New Glarus, and catering.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the author of Building the Bucks, Jordan Tresky, and talk entertainment with Capital Times reporter Victoria Davis. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with T. Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program. It is Monday, January 13th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. A little sun out here in Madison, hopefully where you are as well. It's cool. It's nippy. It's also January 13th, as it turns out. So, I mean, as it turns out, pretty normal weather for January. Just bundle up a little bit. Don't stand out too long in that cold. You can get a little bit of frostbite, but at least the winds are not too bad right now. Not too much wind chill. Of course, very different story out with our friends in Los Angeles, as more high wind warnings are set for today through Wednesday. Lots of people in the greater Los Angeles area still under notice. Lots of people on edge. So thinking about all those folks, sending our thoughts and prayers. And again, we put on our show page places where you can help out at any dollar level. Places like World Kitchen, Jose Andreas' World Kitchen, because it's not just shelter. It's water, food, toilet paper. A lot of these folks left thinking, well, we hear this all the time. You know, okay, fine, we'll evacuate and we'll be back tomorrow. And they went back the next day or two or three days later and everything was gone. Everything. So it's a tragedy, and we're thinking about all those folks out in Los Angeles. Coming up in a minute here, we're going to do a what's worse for you, focusing on driving. Talk about that a little bit. Might get a little bit of there's a full moon tonight. So this afternoon's on like at 5 o'clock, the wolf moon.
And it's the 13th. May not be a Friday, but still.
It's still the 13th, right? So the full moon's going on. And also we're going to talk not just Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, but films that have been named now to the National Film Registry for 2024, some of my favorites. And we'll see if they're your favorites as well. Give you a chance to call in and talk about that. We're going to play one of my favorite scenes from Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. It might not be what you think.
Honestly, though, I'm surprised that a lot of these movies were not already on it.
Really? Yeah. We'll talk about it here coming up in the segment. I want to get to this other story we touched on, or at least said we mentioned in hour one. I want to make sure we get to it, because I know for many people, it's actually pretty important. I am not a TikToker. Zommers, are you on the TikTok?
I am not.
Really? That shocks. Well, I guess not totally, but you're a young person. But for those that don't know, TikTok is another social media platform that so very many people have on their phones. In fact, I did not know this until I did some recent research for the show, But the most popular influencer marketing channel is TikTok at 56%. Coming in second, Instagram, or Insta, at 51%. Facebook at 42%. YouTube at 38%. And Snapchat, or Snap, as the kids say, at 17%. So TikTok is the most popular influencer of marketing brands in America.
That tracks. That makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of people have. And it's most of it, correct me if I'm wrong, most of this is what we would say short form videos. They're not, you don't usually put a 10 or 30 minute video on TikTok.
No, it's like 30 seconds or less to 2 minutes, maybe.
Right. 2 minutes is kind of a long TikTok.
Very long for TikTok.
And so they're innovative and they're creative and it's graphics and, you know, it the kids love it. Not all kids. My friend Kurt, my age, he gets a lot of recipes off of TikTok. He likes it for that. Well, anyway, TikTok's fate, according to CNN, in the United States is now in the hands of the Supreme Court, and things are not looking good for the app. The Supreme Court on Friday heard oral arguments over the law that could ban TikTok in the United States. The law, signed by President Joe Biden in April, requires TikTok to be sold off from its China-based parent company, ByteDance. That's the name of the company, or will face a ban in the United States. The hearing did not seem to go well for TikTok on Friday, making it more likely than ever that the ban will go into effect starting on January 19th. That is this Sunday. Most of the Supreme Court justices appear to be likely to uphold the law, lobbying tough questions at lawmakers. Try that again, Todd. See, I got to get the new glasses on. Let's try this sentence again. Most of the justices appeared likely to uphold the law, lobbying tough questions at lawyers for TikTok and its users about the relevance of their argument that the law violates the First Amendment. And interesting to note that this law passed, this bill passed, was signed into law, this bill passed on a bipartisan effort. This is not just Republicans or not just Democrats. There were people from both sides that voted for this ban. Joe Biden and Democrats signed it into law. I want to play a clip from CBS this morning. I believe this is on Friday on their third hour with Vladimir Duthier. I'm not sure who the other anchor is. And they had on former Wisconsin congressman from Green Bay, the 8th Congressional District, Republican Mike Gallagher, who was the chairman of the committee in the last Congress who looked at this issue. Here is former Wisconsin Republican Congressman Mike Gallagher on CBS talking about the TikTok ban.
Well, certainly there's massive amounts of evidence that the Chinese Communist Party has done everything possible to spy on Americans. And TikTok is just one element of that broader campaign. Think, for example, of all the revelations surrounding Salt Typhoon and the compromise of our telecommunications infrastructure. So there is no doubt that the CCP wants to spy on us. And Xi Jinping has talked openly about short form video, about information dominance on the smokeless battlefield of ideological warfare against the West. As for TikTok specific evidence, every single cabinet official came before my committee in the last Congress and testified as to the national security threat posed by TikTok, which is twofold. There's the espionage threat, but there's also the propaganda threat. When your foremost geopolitical adversary controls what is increasingly becoming the dominant news platform in America, the risks of their ability to manipulate and change content, and we also have new peer-reviewed research suggesting they are doing just that, is too great, which is why we are insisting on a divestment, not a ban, simply change the ownership and TikTok can continue for the 170 million Americans who use it today.
So think 170 million Americans are on TikTok. And this is where it gets a little bit sad, or more than a little bit sad. Like so many industrious Americans, there are people who have made businesses out of TikTok, creating, as they say, content. When you hear someone say, so-and-so's creating content, in layman's terms, it means creating videos. I know that's a simplistic look at it, but creating videos for whether it's recipes or whatever, and then you put that on TikTok, and if you get so many subscribers, then you get ad revenue off of that. And there are people that either from direct ad revenue or from the marketing they do via TikTok that's basically their life, as far as their income. So
So there are people out there that if this were to happen on Sunday, their income would be cut off. But I thought that Gallagher did a really good job of explaining why this happened. Number one, the fact that China, that this company's owned by China. We most reasonable people will agree that anything that's owned and Chinese-based in some way, shape, or form is controlled by the communist government. So the fact that the communist government is able to disseminate propaganda to 170 million Americans in this country unchecked, that's a problem. And also some of the things that they're other things they're putting out there. So, and again, the bill simply says they have to change ownership, that a Chinese company can't own it. There, according to CNN, there are a lot of lingering questions about how the ban would work in practice because there's no precedent for the U.S. government blocking a major social media platform, and how much the government plans to enforce it remains unclear. Even TikTok attorney Noel Francisco seemed uncertain about how exactly a ban would go down. They said, quote, on January 19th, as I understand it, we shut down, he said. Beyond being unavailable in app stores, quote, what the act says is that all the other types of service providers can't provide service either, Francisco said. So essentially what they're going to say is that I think we're not going to be providing the services necessary to have you see it, meaning TikTok. So it's essentially going to stop operating. I think that's the consequence of the law, unquote. There's, again, because this has never happened, there seems to be, you know, it, for people that have TikTok, will they still be able to kind of share videos or do, is that what you call them? Or do you call them TikToks?
They just call them TikToks.
All right, TikToks. Thank you. Thanks for helping an old guy out. So, I mean, you if you have the app, but it appears now that if this goes through on Sunday, no one else will be able to install TikTok on their phone. No new people will be able to do it. You won't get any updates, and there may be interruptions in service. So the question to you, Aaron Zommers, should the show, i.e. me, get on TikTok before it expires?
I think you should take out a small loan of $1 million. No, just a small loan. Buy yourself a new phone, download TikTok on it, and wait until next week and sell it for twice the price you bought it. If you can't
people
download TikTok.
People probably are going to do
people
that.
People are going to do that. And don't buy those. Please don't buy those.
I could buy a burner phone. I just got a new phone a couple months ago. Not going to get another new phone. But I could get like a $30 burner phone, I guess, and put it on that.
You could, but don't be one of those. Don't be a scalper.
Well, I'm not going to sell it. I'm just saying. Because look, it's the top influencer marketing brand. 56% people are on the TikTok.
I mean, the
we're
answer
not
is,
on the TikTok.
Is that we should.
The answer is that we should.
All I right. think so.
From our young producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. All right, we'll have to. Well, time is ticking, pun intended. To get this, we'll have to figure this out. Because I feel like we've been contemplating this whether the show should be on TikTok or not. I just don't know whether I'd be a good TikToker.
I think so. I think when you do your videos, like vlogs almost on Twitter, that they're good. And well, I think you'd be able to do them
I could call myself on TikTok. Do you have to have a screen name on TikTok?
I mean, you have some kind
or
of username.
A handle? I could call myself Captain Hook, like in Peter Pan, because, you know, the alligator, you know, TikTok.
I was going to say TikTok, but that works
oh,
too.
Oh, TikTok. Well, was it you or somebody else?
No,
that
someone
said,
else came up with that.
Yeah, TikTok. That was really good, actually. All right. Will TikTok be a thing by the end of the week? Stay tuned. We'll let you know. Come on back. We're going to give you a what's worse on the other side about driving. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As we approach the 15th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision, we consider the estimated $15.9 billion spent in the 2024 campaign. While still tallying up the total, Money and Politics watchdog Open Secrets estimates the 2024 election cycle was the costliest ever, surpassing 2020's $15.1 billion. For context, the $15.9 billion estimate is larger than the state budgets of New Hampshire, Vermont, and Idaho combined. Only 24% of political contributions to candidates were small donations of $200 or less, down from 30% in 2020. When you consider contributions to PACs and other outside spending, that percentage drops further with only 16% from small donors. The top 1% of donors, they contributed an estimated 50% of all political contributions. That means by far, our elections are not funded by citizens who actually vote, but by wealthy special interests and corporations whose interests may not align with the majority of voters. Open Secrets projects that outside spending alone, mostly by super PACs, will reach $5 billion. Now that the election is over, it's the inaugural fund setting records. The New York Times reports that donors to the Trump inaugural have contributed over $170 million. More on that tomorrow. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test, fix, save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
You get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove.
You know this is one of my favorite songs.
I do.
Little Tracy Chapman.
You got a fast car.
I love her voice.
It is really a great voice.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We're going to be talking about fast cars and slow cars in a minute. First of all, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I don't know why, serendipity here. Whenever I hear that song, maybe because I should check and find out when, so there's Tracy Chapman there. And then what's the other song? All I Want to Do and Have Something Fun.
What's that called?
Did they come out the same year? Fast Car and Sun Coming Up Over Santa Monica Boulevard. Who sings that song? I have it right in the tip of my tongue and I can't say it. Mad Cow Disease. That's the problem.
Sheryl Crow,
Thank
All
you.
I Want to Do.
Yeah, All I Want to Do by Sheryl Crow. See if those two songs came out at the same time. Because I've said this before. When All I Want to Do by Sheryl Crow came out, I was visiting my friends out in Los Angeles, literally driving down Santa Monica Boulevard. It was one of the best experiences of my life. It was just surreal. I was going by some iconic places in Los Angeles. So I don't know why those two songs are kind of inextricably linked in my psyche.
Fast Car was originally released April 6th, 1988.
Uh-huh.
All I Want to Do by Sheryl Crow, originally released July 12th, 1994.
So
six years apart.
6 years apart. But yeah, there's still a popular song. Anyway, serendipity as our friend L.A. Tom out in Los Angeles, California, calling in. Tom, always a pleasure. Again, certainly sorry it's under these circumstances. Thanks for calling in. I assume you wanted to give us a little bit of update what's happening with the wildfires out in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean, first the winds right now are not real strong, so I'm happy about that. I mean, this whole thing is about the wind.
Right.
I said that the other day. Any right winger out there that has something to control wind, come on out, see if you can do that. Cause that's really all you can do. Otherwise, all our local government, our state government, everyone is doing, I mean, just an absolutely incredible job. On this whole issue. So I wanted to say that, but also I wanted to say, I'm just falling away more and more from all social media, except for maybe Blue Sky. TikTok is not a problem. TikTok hasn't been the problem. The problem has been Facebook and Twitter. And for the any politician to say that TikTok has to go, then they better say Facebook and Twitter need to go also.
Well, you bring up
this is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, don't go anywhere. But I'm glad you brought this up because during the break, Andrew in Maine, listening on AUK, watching on YouTube, said, "Why is TikTok any different than X, i.e. Twitter or Facebook, aside from who invested in it as an owner? I don't trust Musk any more than some random Chinese government official on telling the truth or allowing truthful information to be shared. Our illustrious First Amendment does a great job of allowing any social media platform be used to share all the lies far and wide," unquote. So to your point, I mean, I think that's a good point. The federal government, and again, this bill that was signed into law by President Biden is a bipartisan bill. So what you feel like as every old everyday American is that, oh, so the government is fine with social media, you know, lying to us as long as it's an American company and not one based in China.
Absolutely. And the thing is, most things on TikTok are just people. I mean, honestly, Instagram has become TikTok. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically what Instagram has done, is taken the ideas, which of course is just Meta, but they've taken the ideas from TikTok. There's just videos of people, you know, doing their own little thing, whether they're, right, they're speaking or whatever. It's not, like I said, I find it the least intrusive and offensive and the least propagandized. Mm-hmm. That's a word, than any of the other ones.
I just
get away from Meta completely and Facebook.
That just popped in
my... I want to say one other thing, Todd.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Well, I actually, you know, one thing I think the Democrats do horribly, horribly wrong is messaging, of course, and I think everybody would agree with that. I think what the Democrats ought to do is they ought to get one website, which I purchased a website this morning that would actually help in this way. It's called bullypulpit.us.
All right.
And we know Joe Biden did not use the bully pulpit, right?
Agreed.
But they need to have one spot, and this goes back to the wildfires as well. Mm. They need to have one spot where the people that are in government on the Democratic side can go and give actual truthful things of what is going on.
Yeah.
So therefore, all the people can go to this one site and they can see what, you know, the different governors, whether it's Gavin Newsom, whether it's Tony Evers, whether it's whoever it is. They can go there and they can find right from the horse's mouth exactly what the situation is on the ground with different things. Joe Biden should have done this just on a national level. We know Donald Trump will be doing it every single day, talking about how great everything is, even though it'll be falling apart.
I think it's a great, really great idea, Tom. I think it's a really great idea. Hey, quick, before you leave, Andrew in Maine has a question for you. It says, can you please ask Tom, have you seen any fire engines from Oregon yet? If so, wave. One of my dad's engines is down there along with 74 others. Wow, that's great.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you, Andrew. But the thing that's so interesting about it, too, is that, you know, you got people that are saying, oh, come on down to L.A. or come on down, you know, from around the country. Don't come here.
Right.
We don't need more people. We have the fire crews, like, you know, the ones from Oregon and stuff like that, that are actually doing the job. There are some scams out there that are trying to get people to come out here, and honestly, they're going to cause more problems than they are good. Just go to the Red Cross and give a contribution or something like that, but don't come to L.A. unless you're coming here to go to, you know, Disneyland or something. But otherwise, we already have enough people trying to get into the Palisades right now, and it's like, why are you getting into the Palisades? You're gonna actually cause more problems.
Well, I appreciate
than what we currently have.
Appreciate it, Tom. I'm up against the clock, but you're welcome to the show anytime. Appreciate the real news updates and your reporting out there. Stay safe, my friend. And again, our thoughts and prayers to everyone out in the greater Los Angeles area. We'll come back and we actually will talk about fast cars and a little what's worse on the other side, but it's an excuse to play more Tracy Chapman. So what's wrong with that on Civic Media?
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. An alert for parents. Madison police say strangers have approached kids near a school on the west side and offered them rides. This all happened Wednesday around Toki Middle School. Authorities say a student was walking to school by themselves when a man pulled up and said he was a driver for a rideshare company and offered them a ride to school. The student told police he was white and drove a silver or gray sedan. That same day, a group of kids was walking to school when a man stopped them. They said he told them to get in the car for a ride. Those students said he was black and drove a silver or gray sedan. Madison police don't know yet whether these two incidents are connected, so they're asking for more information. If you know anything, you can contact them or Crime Stoppers or use the P3 Tips app. They've been adding extra patrols in that area, too. And it's a cold one today. Temperatures in the single digits and wind chills below zero for much of the day. And we'll have pretty much the same thing tonight into tomorrow. Temperatures may dip below zero, meaning it may feel like negative 20 when we wake up in the morning. And the price of gas has dropped. Here in Wisconsin, our price per gallon is lower than the national average. Melissa Kay has more.
Gas prices fell 3.9 cents last week. The average across the state is $2.97 today. This is 0.8 cents higher than a month ago and 3.2 cents per gallon higher than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say it's been a relatively quiet week with little overall movement on the national average. However, the cold temperatures could impact prices if refiners face disruptions. Oil prices have climbed to their highest level since October, which could soon lead to more noticeable increases in gas prices. Once refinery maintenance season hits and refiners reduce gasoline production, motorists could see increases at the pump.
Today in Dane County, on average, a gallon of regular will cost you about $2.79, but some spots have it for as low as $2.59. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Audrey Hepburn is considered one of the greatest movie stars of all time. Ariana Grande is just getting started with her big screen career comparatively. But there are rumors that she might play the iconic classic Hollywood Oscar winner in an upcoming biopic. Nothing has been confirmed, but it sounds like the Wicked actress is really interested in such a role, telling Access Hollywood that she has always been enamored with old Hollywood. Speaking of Grande, Wicked was just released on video on demand, and it's no surprise that one of the biggest movies of 2024 is seeing sales through the roof. The film is now available to stream in the U.S. and Canada. Wicked pulled in $26 million on its first day of digital release, according to Variety, and ended up with $70 million after its first week. The nice thing about watching Wicked at home is you will not have strangers standing up and singing along. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunny and cold today, with high temperatures tapping the mid-teens and winds blustery, whipping up to 30 miles per hour, creating frigid wind chills where we're really feeling sub-zero all day, and a chance of a few flurries flying around late. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 12 degrees.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, what were the hot items at the Consumer Electronics Show?
We'll take a look at the best and the brightest ideas.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
So I remember when we were driving in your car. So fast, I felt like I was drunk. city lights day out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder, and I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone.
The incomparable Tracy Chapman, Fast Car, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd Lowball Show, 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. The talented, the effervescent, the fantastic Mr. Zahmer is on the board. It is Monday, January 13th, 2025. Such a great song. And yes, a couple of people ask if we're going to play the Luke Bryan version of that song. And I mean, it's okay.
Or I think it's actually Luke Combs.
Or is it Luke Combs? All right, yeah. Sorry. Thank you. Yes, it is. It's fine. But and I know a lot of younger people, that's all they know. They didn't know about one of my godsons was a big fan of that song and the new version. And I said, you know, that's a remake. Really? And then But they did, I think it was at the Grammys recently, a couple of years ago, that that Luke Bryan, Earl Combs and Tracy Chapman did the song together. And that was fantastic. So it's a great song regardless. Anyway, time once again here at 35 minutes past the hour for a late, but we'll get to it, edition of What's Worse. Here we go.
This or that, this or that. Then, of course, the choice is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this.
Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved. Simply your chance to have your voice heard across the largest privately owned statewide radio network in Wisconsin. That is Civic Media, 11 stations across the state. Covering all major marketing areas in the state of Wisconsin. Speaking of prizes, our Vice President Aaron Carennell brought in the snow blower from our Text to Win contest in December. It's beautiful. It's sitting here for the owner to come in, the new owner who won it on this network to come and get
it. Yes, brand new snow
blower. So I can tell you that these prizes are in fact real.
At least the snow blower.
Yeah, so they get given to all kinds of great people. So no prize, but your chance to call in. Here we go. What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Download it today for free on your Apple or iPhone, pardon me, your Apple or Android device. Simply go to your app store, type in Civic Media. It'll pop up. Click on the CM logo. Takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal, the Civic Media app. Text us. Let us know. Call in as well. What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Tony on YouTube says fast for the likelihood of accidents alone. There you go. Zombers?
I will say it's the app. Sometimes you have people who are fast who are texting or whatever. Sometimes you have people who are slow who are being really vigilant. But I feel like normally fast drivers are paying attention to where they're going and slow drivers tend to not have any idea what's going on around them.
Really? All right.
In what I've seen. And so there's some of that. Like the fast people will be weaving in and out of traffic and it's annoying and it's like, get away from me. But slow people annoy me more.
Right. That's the Zahmer.
I think fast drivers are worse because, as Tony said, more people are likely to die.
Now, wait a minute. You're couching your thing here. What is this?
I'm saying I think that slow drivers annoy me more, but fast drivers are more dangerous.
So what's worse?
Fast drivers.
All right, very good. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Carl, listening on WCFW, the tap up in beautiful Eau Claire, says slow. By far is worse. They cause backups and anxious drivers behind them. All right, Carl, thank you very much for your listenership up there in beautiful Eau Claire. Also, Eric in Madison on WMDX says slow drivers are more aggravating. Fast drivers are more dangerous. On balance, it's a push. Troy, our friend Troy in Mount Horeb, one of our winners before the contest on MDX says, I'm a fast driver, so I'll say slow drivers are worse. That's a very honest answer, Troy. God love you. That's fantastic. What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? 855-752-4842. Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee. Karina, what's worse?
Slow drivers are the worst because they think too slow. They don't read the signs. They don't know what the speed limit is. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh, my God, I can do all day long. Slow drivers are detrimental for a road. And the reason is because they're either too old or they're too young. And both of them are distracted.
Okay, Karina.
Fast drivers are paying attention to what they're doing.
Karina.
Fast drivers is actually calculating.
Karina.
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
Well, you know, I drive all day long.
I know you do.
I go from one clinic to another. And it's just beyond. And I agree with Summers that, you know, fast drivers actually pay attention to what they're doing. Yes, you have to pay attention to them more, but with the slow drivers, they're absolutely unpredictable because you don't know what the heck is going on in their hand when you have 45 speed limit and they go 35.
We've seemed to have hit a nerve with you. LA Tom is watching on YouTube, says, this is the most passionate I've ever heard, Karina.
She had to go, but yeah.
Okay, she's driving. You understand? She's a busy woman.
For what it's worth. Yeah, I do agree. They are by far more annoying, and I'm just trying to not express it as passionately so that I don't say words I'm not allowed to say.
Tom, speaking of Tom in LA, he says slow drivers are worse because they don't want watch the flow of traffic. Also, slow drivers because they caused accidents by not going with the flow.
Yeah, I feel like slow drivers more often just drift between lanes or turn without signal. Well, they all turn without signaling, but they just. It's more annoying because you have to watch it for longer.
John in West Bend, listening on WAUK there, says, as a follow-up, the ones that go fast and then slow down, right? That's another one.
Yeah, he said that the ones that can't keep a steady speed on freeways, where you have people that you pass or they pass you, and it goes like 4 or 5 times in a 20-mile stretch, especially when they seem to be aggravated about it.
Right.
And they go and pass you and then slow down like 10 miles per hour slower right in front of you.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Give us a call, weigh in, or also text us as well. Andrew in Maine watching on or listening to WAUK says, I will take 10 slow drivers all day over fast drivers. In a past life, I was a volunteer firefighter and saw the result of driving too fast many more times than slow drivers. Slow down, people, and smell the roses. Well, that's great perspective as an EMS emergency worker who saw the results of that. Dave, listening in New Berlin, says, if I'm driving quote-unquote slow, I'm driving at the posted speed limit. Well, that's a great point. When I'm driving fast, I'm doing about 10 miles per hour over. What's fast and what's slow? Well, Dave, you've hit it, in my opinion, a great point here. Because, and maybe this is an age thing, but, now at 55, I don't think I'm an old person. I'm not a slow driver. But you get on the Beltline here in Madison or the interstate.
People
anywhere.
90.
Right, on the interstate. Going to Milwaukee, I mean, there are yahoos that are like Zomer says, 80, 90 miles an hour, sometimes plus. That's just ridiculous. I mean, that people should be pulled over and handcuffed, in my opinion, going 90 miles an hour like that. Going to kill someone. 855-752-4842. Lots of opinions. We're going to take them in order that you called. Larry, listening on WMDX in Madison. Beautiful Sun Prairie, the hometown of Luke Mathers. Larry, what's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers?
Well, there's good and bad on fast drivers and slow drivers. I mean, people are looking for addresses or, you know, whatever. But the worst ones are in between, half fast drivers.
I like that. Half fast. You're half fast. Mm-hmm. Those are the tough ones, right? Appreciate the call, Larry. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. Martha, listening on our great station up there, home of Mino and the Mayor, every morning from 6 until 9, WGBW in beautiful Green Bay. Martha, what's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers?
I think it depends on the location, but I think slow drivers tend to be distracted drivers with telephones and other things that might take their mind off the road.
All right.
And slow drivers.
Slow drivers. Word. All right, great call. Appreciate your listenership up there, beautiful Green Bay. 855-752-4842. Go to beautiful Appleton. And Jim, listening on WISS out of Oshkosh. Jim, what's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers?
Slow drivers are by far worse. And they're more dangerous. If you're going down the freeway or any two-lane highway and you got somebody in front of you that won't do the speed limit, you're forcing everybody that's piled up behind you to try and get around you. Mm-hmm. And that creates a dangerous situation.
Yeah, I can see that point as well. Great, great call, Jim. Appreciate your listenership up there in the hometown of Harry Houdini, Appleton, Wisconsin.
The greatest escape he ever made.
That's what he said. It was from Appleton, Wisconsin. No, I lived in Appleton for a summer. And we did the show up there. It used to be called the Appleton Foxes. Well, I lived up there for the summer. Now it's the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. I want to do a show there because we went there when it was cold. And they were the fantastic hosts up there at the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. And it's a year-round facility. So we want to do a show up there when it's a little bit nicer out this year as well. Lots of feelings. This is fantastic. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? The Chuckster out of Racine down there in WRJN territory, listening on WMDX, says fast drivers are worse if exceeding the speed limit by 15 miles per hour plus in heavy traffic. Time to spin. Classic slow ride. Oh, all right, very good. Yeah, right. Do a slow ride. All right, very good. Jude, listening in East Troy, says slow lane for that. Fast lane for you. Guessed it. Fast drivers. Right. So there is some places have a rapid, like on the left hand side, like a fast lane. Now we have one that the Beltline here in Madison, and fast people should stay there, and slower people to the right. 855-752-4842. Fred, listening in beautiful Cottage Grove. Fred, thanks for calling. What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers?
Well, actually, both. Tailgating is the biggest problem. But
my mother would agree with you.
Now they've got the flex lane.
Right.
And if going east, people want to get off on that Stoughton Road, but they're in the flex lane.
Yep.
They cut across.
Yes.
Four lanes of traffic.
That's crazy.
And everybody's hitting their brakes, so it's backing everybody up. But it really is. It's fast drivers is a problem, basically.
I agree with you. I agree, Fred. Thank you so much for calling. And Fred, if you're not from the Madison area, it's called the flex lane, where if you want to drive fast and get there quickly, you're on the left-hand side. And Fred's talking about the exit to like Stoughton Road to go to Stoughton or parts of Monona and whatnot. And so people are going in the left lane at 80 miles an hour to get quote unquote around people. And then they try to cross all four lanes to the right to exit off onto Stoughton Road. And there's been really bad accidents over there. So yes, Fred, you're absolutely right. You get my vote. Todd, listening in Oshkosh on WISS, says George Carlin said, anybody driving faster than you is a maniac. And anybody driving slower than you is an idiot. Same holds true. I could not agree more. The great George Carlin, right? Conrad, listening up in Green. Is this Conrad from Nightlight?
It might be.
Great program, by the way, every evening from 6 until 8. Pete Schwabe, Conrad, doing a great job. Green Bay says, I can't stand tailgaters. Well, yes, you and my mother both. And I agree. Tailgaters are a really bad problem. All right, come back. Talk a little Star Trek II and movies after this on Civic Media.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Central heat, you know, the HVAC systems that heat your entire house. Man, those can really cost us an arm and a leg. And they lose up to 30% of their energy through the ductwork, plus more when we're heating rooms that we aren't even using. Well, one trick that can bring down your heating bill is to lower your thermostat and use energy-efficient space heaters where you really need the heat. I'm a little retro, and I like radiant heaters. Those are heaters that just heat a specific area in a room. On average, running a 1,500-watt space heater is going to cost you about 20 cents an hour. While running your central electric furnace, that's going to run you $1.37 an hour. So space heaters can mean real savings. However, if you use a space heater, make sure you follow the directions for their safe use. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. The next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
For one, I'll be glad to have you behind the helm. I don't think these kids know how to steer. One of the great many lines from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. In my opinion, one of the greatest films ever made.
I need to watch the whole thing. I've only seen bits and pieces.
I have it on VHS. I have it on DVD. I have it on Blu-ray. And I have Paramount Plus, so I can also stream it. I've watched that film without exaggeration at least 50 times. Friends that know me well, I can almost recite the script from memory.
Yep.
For those that don't know, it's the original. It's Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock and Dr. McCoy. Anyway, according to CBS, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, also the Eddie Murphy action comedy Beverly Hills Cop, the romantic drama Dirty Dancing, The Social Network about the founding of Facebook, and the Coen brothers' modern Western No Country for Old Men are among the films named today to the Library of Congress's National Film Registry to be preserved for future generations. Every year since 1989, the library has selected 25 motion pictures to be preserved, given their cultural, historic, and aesthetic importance to the American film heritage. The registry includes movies from all genres after being nominated by filmmakers, academics, and fans. It's a great list of movies, and to your point earlier, I'm surprised that some of these aren't already in there.
Yeah, seriously. Like, people love movies like Beverly Hills Cop and Star Trek II and Dirty Dancing. I'm especially surprised isn't on there.
Yes. And you said a horror. I'm not a big horror guy, but
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is getting added. I'm very surprised that that's not in there because it's one of the most influential horror movies ever.
So I'm going to play now a cut. We have time for this? How long is it? All right. So very quickly to set it up, Captain Kirk, who in the movie has now been promoted to Admiral Kirk, and they're stranded inside this kind of planet-ish type of thing. They think they're doomed, and it has to do with the test called the Kobayashi Maru, the no-win scenario, that James T. Kirk was the only person to ever beat it. Here he is talking to Savak, the protege of Mr. Spock, inside the planet, and Dr. McCoy is stranded there with him.
Sir, may I ask you a question?
What's on your mind, Lieutenant?
The Kobayashi Maru, sir.
Are you asking me if we're playing out that scenario now?
On the test, sir. Will you tell me what you did? I would really like to know.
Lieutenant, you are looking at the only Starfleet cadet who ever beat the no-win scenario.
How?
I reprogrammed the simulation so it was possible to rescue the ship.
What?
He cheated.
I changed the conditions of the test. Got a commendation for original thinking. I don't like to lose.
Then you never faced that situation. Faced death.
I don't believe in the no-win scenario. Kirk to Spock, it's 2 hours. Are you ready?
Right on schedule, Admiral. Just give us your coordinates and we'll beam you aboard.
All right.
Great scene from Star Trek II Wrath of Khan. You know, so I'm not ruining anything at this point. I mean, in the movie, of course, it's where Mr. Spock ends up dying in the movie because he sacrifices himself for the entire ship. And there's a great goodbye scene between Kirk and Spock, best friends. And I've quoted Kirk's line in the, I've given eulogies at funerals. And Kirk in this movie says to Savick at one point, he says, how we face death is at least as important as how we face life. Wouldn't you agree? And she says, the thought had never occurred to me. And Kirk says, well, now you have something to think about. Carry on. And it kind of comes back at the end of the movie that Kirk just has this attitude that he can always beat death. He always wins. He reprogrammed this test as a Starfleet cadet to win. He doesn't like to lose. But ultimately, he loses his best friend, has to face death as we all do at some point in life. And I think it's a profound question. It comes from science fiction, but I think it's an important question. How we face death is at least as important as how we face life. To savor it, to acknowledge it, to appreciate it, to realize that it will come to all of us. And also, I remember watching Siskel and Ebert when the movie came out. And for its time, this is long before CG. You know, computer graphics. I mean, they built these ships, like real model ships and the explosions, the graphics and all this sort of thing. It's a great film. So check it out. Star Trek II Wrath of Khan. I am glad that it's been included in the Library of Congress now, in the National Film Registry. And you've heard me say on this show before, when it comes to politics and other things, I call something a Kobayashi Maru. It's a no-win scenario. You understand? You can't win.
See, I believe the test is there's a ship called the Kobayashi Maru, and it's yes. Do you save the crew or do you leave and get help? And either way, you're dead.
Yes. Thank you for explaining that. Yes, it's a test that all the Starfleet cadets have to take. If you're going to be a commander, you receive a distress call from a ship in the neutral zone, and you're not supposed to go in there because neither Klingons nor Starfleet people could go in. But you find out there is a ship with 500 souls on board. So it's a test of character. Do you go against protocol and rescue the crew, or do you let people die? And Kirk reprogrammed it so he could do both. He doesn't like to lose. Great show today. Appreciate y'all for being here. Thank you, Mr. Zommers. Tomorrow, our friend Luke Mathers will be along with some Tuesday Tangents with Lukester and more fun and games and what's worse as well. Join us then. Thank you, everybody, for starting your week with us. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum.
And your day will come. Keep banging on your drum. And they will hear you.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
On the way, just how much money has already been spent on Wisconsin's Supreme Court race and who's funding that? We'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 11.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Efforts to finalize a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release deal between Israel and Hamas appear to be closer than ever. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan signaled both the Biden administration and President-elect Trump's transition teams are putting on a united front in negotiations.
Sullivan said they are, quote, on the brink of reaching a deal after an aggressive push in recent weeks.
There's a couple of reasons for why this is happening, the biggest one of which is that Israel has achieved its substantial military objectives in Gaza.
Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Inauguration Day now, 1 week out, President-elect Trump will be sworn into office amid tight security due to what authorities call a heightened threat environment. Fire crews in Los Angeles County racing to contain major wildfires and douse hotspots with hurricane-force winds back in the mix starting tonight. The Eaton and Palisades fires are blamed for at least two dozen deaths. This is ABC News.